You have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of Psalms 23. And I was going to finish that series, this series that I've been doing on and off here the last few weeks. And this series empowered, this series in Psalms 23. And so, I don't know if I'm going to get through it all today. But I'm going to finish it on Thursday night, and so that we can finish it. But I got, you know, I thought maybe this was going to be the last week, and then I got going and I got studying. I thought, no, I can't leave it right here. I got to move on. So we're going to get as far as we can this morning, and then we'll finish the rest of it up on Thursday evening. But one of the very familiar songs, if you've been studying it with you, hopefully you've been studying it with me. I know that some of the ladies in their Bible study on Sunday mornings have been going through Psalm 23, and I didn't even know that until I started preaching it, and then they told me that they were going through it, and so it's good. So that means that I'm hearing from God, hopefully. Either I'm hearing from God or they're hearing from God, one or the other. And Psalms 23, let's just go ahead and start at the first. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, You've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say that with me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say forever. Great passion. You know, when we look at Psalms 23, we're going to concentrate on verse 5 and 6 this morning. And verse 5 really deals with relationship. It's a verse that deals with your relationship with God, and that relationship with God, and also that relationship with one another. We'll see that this morning. But I want to share just a couple of things with you. First of all, I want you to see this. Number one, I want you to see we all should give God time and opportunity to fight our battles. We all should give God opportunity and time to fight our battles. Sometimes we want to fight our battles. Sometimes we want to jump in and do the work that God is intended to do for us if we just trust Him. But if we'll give God opportunity to fight our battles, how many know God will fight our battles? It says there, it says, For Thou hast prepared for me a table in the presence of my enemies. The word prepare there comes from the Hebrew word, which means to put in order or to lay out. It means that as God has prepared a table in the presence of your enemies, it means that God has orchestrated. He's literally, it means to lay out in order, to be put in order. What does that mean? Here we have David now. When we look at this scripture, he has brought these sheep, in the analogy of this verse, he has brought them out of the valley of the shadow of death, and he is now leading them up to these green pastures. Now, in the winter, they would go to the lowlands. That's where they would take the sheep. But then as spring came, they would lead those sheep through what was called the valley of the shadow of death, which we talked about. And in the spring, he would lead them sheep up there. Now, that was very treacherous. It was treacherous for a lot of reasons, because those valleys were very narrow, very dangerous to come through. There were predators. There were different paths that could have been taken. Actually, the shepherd had to know what paths were predators' paths, what paths were shepherds' paths, what paths were paths that were done by people, and he had to discern those paths. And he would bring those sheep up through that valley. There is a valley of the shadow of death. It's actually 4 miles long. And then these Bedouins and these shepherds would bring these sheep up through that valley. And what they were doing in the spring, they were taking them to the high places, the highlands, where the grass would begin to grow. And they would take them up and they would lead them up through those valleys. And they would come out, they were leading them to greater pastures, to a plateau where grass was, the highlands. In other words, the shepherd would lead them up there. Now, before a shepherd would allow his sheep to begin to graze in a pasture, he would do a couple of things. The first thing that he would do is that shepherd is going to walk through that pasture himself. He's going to walk through that pasture. Before he even allows the sheep to begin to graze, he'll walk through that pasture. What is he doing as he goes through that pasture? He's looking for two things. Number one, those shepherds are going to drive out the wildlife. They're going to drive out anything that's a hindrance to the sheep. They're going to drive the wildlife to the other end of the pasture and remove anything that could be a hindrance. There could be a predator that's there, that's hidden. And those shepherds are going to prepare that field for those sheep to feed on. They're going to walk back and forth, make sure that those predators are not hiding and that the pastures are meant for the sheep. They're flushing out those animals. They're also looking for poisonous type food and vegetation that would hurt the sheep. Vegetation that would cause them. Sheep are very sensitive in their diet. Matter of fact, I've got a friend that he was a shepherd for 9 months in Israel. And he got fired. You know why he got fired? It's because the sheep that he was watching over got away from him and got into a potato patch. And they ate potatoes. And by the time he got there, them sheep had keeled over and died. A bunch of them. And he was a shepherd, but he wasn't a very good one. He decided that was not his career. But he was doing it to raise money for college. But a shepherd will go through that field and look for vegetation that's poisonous. Matter of fact, if you're a farmer and you have cattle or you have any kind of animals, it's likely that you do that through your fields to make sure that there's nothing that is there. He was looking for something. And there's another one other thing that the shepherd would look for. In Israel, there is what's called a little brown adder. It is a poisonous snake. And it's only about as long as this desk, but it's about as thick as someone's arm or hand. And those adders would dig holes and they'll get down into the depths of those holes and they'll hide there. But as that shepherd would walk that field and he'd drive that wildlife to the other end, and as he'd look for those poisonous vegetation, he'd look for those snake holes. And when he found one, this is what he'd do. Because those snakes were very dangerous to sheep, because as those sheep would eat, those adders would come up and bite those sheep on the nose, or they'd bite them on the mouth, or bite them on their legs, and suddenly like that, sheep could die in moments just like that. So he would take a cruse of oil, and this oil was made of aloes and myrrhs. The one ingredient that it had in it was a sulfur mixture in Israel, and he would take that mixture, and he'd put it around the opening of that adder's hole for two reasons. One, to make it slippery so that the adder could not have traction if he tried to come up out of that hole. Second was, as the smell of that sulfur would drive that adder down into the earth. And that adder would want no part of coming out of that hole because that smell would be such a deterrent to that adder, he would hide. And so that's what it means when it says the Lord has prepared a table for you in the presence of you. It's like a shepherd that goes into a field. He's clearing a field. He's clearing out an area. Listen, God goes before us. The shepherd goes before us in our lives. He prepares the places that we're going to work. Listen, God is working for you and leading you when He's leading you. God has already been there before you get there. Why? He's preparing for you the place to serve. In other words, He'll go before you. You say, well, prove that in Scripture. I'd be happy to do that, to prove that to you. When Abraham was on the mountain, the word prepare there means to order. It means to put in order. Matter of fact, one of the analogies is to lay or prepare wood and lay wood in order. It was an order that was represented by sacrifice. Did you know that when they would sacrifice, that even God would be responsible, that they would even have to put the very wood in a certain position in order? When Abraham was on the mountain and he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, and he put on the altar there, he prepared the altar for Isaac, and Isaac is there. He was willing to sacrifice Isaac. But then the Bible said that all of a sudden there was a lamb that was in the thicket. What happened? God had made a provision for Abraham. God had made a provision. He prepared His table in the presence of His enemy. He was going to sacrifice Isaac and willing to do it. But God sent Elijah. Remember when he was on the Mount Carmel and he showed up and he was going to call fire down from heaven. God showed up and God before him and went before him. The lepers in 2 Kings, when they're in the Samaria and the city is starving of famine. And there's these four lepers that are in the city and they say, if we stay here, tomorrow we'll be dead. So we might as well leave and go down to the Syrian army camp and maybe they'll have mercy on us and that we can live and that we can eat and we won't starve to death. But what did it say? The Bible says that as they left Samaria and as they began to walk, that God did what? He made their footsteps sound like the marching of armies. The Assyrians said they've gone and gotten allies and they're coming back to whoop us. And the Bible said they left everything behind and ran off. And when the lepers got there, they said, where are they at? Where'd they go? Why? Because God prepared a table for them in the presence of their enemies. And God is walking through the field of your life. God is walking through the pasture of your life where He wants you to feed. And God has already gone before you. Listen, it's a matter of walking in victory. It's not a matter of obtaining victory. It's a matter of walking in the victory that God has already prepared for your life. Hey, that's good stuff. That means God's well ahead of you, sweetheart. God's already thought of it before you even did. Even before you got afraid of it. Even before you walked in the fear of it, God already knew it was heading your way. And I want to tell you, He walks the field and looks for the predators. He looks for those who try to destroy your purpose in life. He's got the anointing oil that's going to keep the snake away. How many want God to keep the snake away from your life? The serpent away from your life. He's prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. There's a great passage of Scripture that we can't get to this morning. But it's an incredible passage. And it talks about David. And it says that David had a chair at the seat of Saul's table. And there's a passage of Scripture that talked about David's seat being empty in the presence of Saul. Listen, David sat at the table with Saul. Who was Saul? Saul was David's first number one enemy. Saul spent 10 years trying to kill David. But in the early days, what did God do? God set David at the table with Saul. Isn't that amazing? The Bible said that David had gone down to Kadesh Barnea or had gone down to Ziklag, and King Achish was there. He was king of the Philistines, and all the Philistine kings did not like David. But David had favor with this king. And the king brought David in, and David would sit at the table with all the Philistines, who later David would wipe out every one of them. What is that a sign? It means that David understood that the battle was not his, it was the Lord's. And the battle's not yours this morning. It's God's. And God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. That's the God we serve. When you begin to look at this passage of Scripture, I told you in verse 4, there was a shift in the personal pronoun. It went from David describing God, he began to say, and I. He said, and He'll be with me. He uses the pronoun I 6 times in a passage. It was a shift. In other words, the relationship between God and David became intimate. David begins saying, this is what He'll do for you, but this is what God has done for me. How many know there's power in the testimony to stand up and say, hey, I know God had done it here, but there's just something about it when God does it for you. But here in verse 5, there's another shift. It's a shift. It's not a shift in language. It's a shift in imagery. And in verse 5, we begin to see David changes the metaphor from talking about sheep to talking about Him. He's no longer talking about sheep, but he's talking about what Jesus or what God has done in his life. In other words, he begins to talk about how he's been led instead of how sheep are being led. Listen, as you progress in God in relationship, how many know that that relationship becomes more intimate and intimate as you walk with God? As your faithfulness with God begins to walk, God, several times in your walk with God, there's an intimacy that will come into your life. You'll continue to grow closer and closer and closer to God. God says this, He says, draw nigh to me, and what? I'll draw nigh to you, as the Scripture says. In other words, it's the picture of the intimacy of God working in his life. He sat in the tents of Saul. He sat with the Philistines. It's a perfect picture of God. You know, God has already walked through the camps of the enemies for you. Just like you hear a sonic boom. Anybody ever heard a sonic boom from a plane? Once you hear the sonic boom, sweetheart, it's already gone. The boom is later. And that's exactly what God does in your life. When the manifestation of His purpose for your life shows up, God had already been there for you. He's already worked on your behalf and already showed you that He is God. Number two, not only should we give God time to fight our battles, but two, we need to give God time and opportunity to work on you. You hear what I'm saying? You need to give God time and opportunity to work on you. You say, well, what do you mean? There's three ways God will work on you. He'll work. Number one is prevention. Two is protection. Three is service and how you serve Him. Listen, prevention from what might come your way, protection from what's already there, and service to what His purpose is for your life. It's interesting, in the spring when they would move these sheep up to the terraces of these pastures, in the spring there was a fly that would come and create havoc in a sheep's life. Now, it was an enemy of the sheep. Sheep were very skittish. And they're not like a cow or a horse where they have tail, where they can whip off insects. And so when we talk about prevention, David here is talking about prevention. And there was this fly in Israel. And forgive my grossness, but this fly would go in, and it was a nasal fly. That's the name of it. It was a nasal fly. It would go into the ears and the nose and the mouth of these sheep. And it would go in and it would lay larvae in these sheep. And it would get so far up into the sheep's head that it would lay those larvae, and that larva would begin to create these maggots, or these fly eggs would open up, and it would drive the sheep so mad that sheep would begin, some of them it would be so bad, they would even bang their head upon rocks. Many of them would kill themselves trying to get relief of that pain that is in their head. Little did they know what it was, but they were trying to get relief from what was going on in their head and in their mind. All you have to do is come by my office sometime. If you see me banging my head, well, you'll know. But before those sheep would get to the pasture, the shepherd would take that oil of aloe and sulfur and myrrh, and he'd rub it into the ears and the nose of that sheep. Now that sheep didn't like it. He didn't like it one bit. As that shepherd is putting oil down in through the caverns of its nose and its ears, and it would fight. Kind of like you do when God's trying to move in your life, and you're sitting here on a Sunday morning and the Holy Ghost is moving and God's put His finger on an area of your life, and you keep saying no to God and you keep squirming, you keep fighting, you keep resisting what God wants to do. You keep giving God excuses to why you can't do this, why you can't do that, why you can't. See, it's just the same thing. The only difference is that's sheep and this is you. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? God's trying to oil you up. God's trying to bring some prevention to your life. Prevention. The Holy Spirit will come and work something in you that will keep you from going out. How many know the Holy Spirit wants to work some prevention in your life? Wants to work some things in your life that'll keep you from losing your mind. That's the prevention there. Why? What's the Holy Spirit wants to do? He wants to oil you up so that you'll have boundaries in your life. He wants to oil you up so you'll put some prevention in your life, like prayer and reading the Word of God. Getting around godly friends and getting around people that are anointed by God. And stop getting outside the boundaries that God has set for your life. What that shepherd is doing, he's setting boundaries for those sheep. He's anointing them sheep. He's preventing. He's being proactive in his life. What happens with us is that we fiddle around with life, and a lot of times we're not interested in God until we've already tore our lives up and tore somebody else's life. Then we want to play with God. How about putting some prevention in our life and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and let the Good Shepherd come into your life and lead you and bring some prevention to your life. The reason is that the protection, he wants to protect the sheep. The second thing is that he wants to bring not only prevention, but he wants to protect the sheep. Now, this is interesting. Again, there are these sheep have this disease that they get a hold of. It's called sheep scab. And again, it's where a mite gets into the head of the sheep and it gets into there and it gets down into the scalp of that sheep. Now, sheep are interesting because they like to rub heads. They just kind of rub heads. Sometimes they'll nudge each other on the side, you know, friendly. It's just the way they show affection. It's kind of like saying, you're the sheep for me. I don't know. So they rub heads and they mingle together. But that mite will get down into the head of that sheep. And what happens is that disease is very contagious. Matter of fact, they say that nowadays they dip sheep. But back in David's day, they had to put oil on the head of that sheep. They had to put oil all over the head of that sheep. That's when he's talking about that in the presence of you have anointed my head with oil. What he's talking about is that he takes those sheep and he puts oil all over the head of those sheep so that that sheep scab cannot take root in the head of those sheep, that they cannot pass it on. Because they say that a whole herd of sheep could be wiped out in a matter of hours because it's highly contagious. How many know that it's a representation of sometimes we allow things to get into the church and they can wipe a church out that quick if you don't have the prevention to keep things from happening. If you don't protect the sheep can die. How many know God wants to protect the sheep? God wants to keep the sheep protected. The shepherd would fill that sheep's head. Very highly contagious. It was something that the sheep could pass on quickly. And one could be infected very quickly. In other words, and when that shepherd would do it, again, those sheep would not like it. They would fight that shepherd. They would fight him, and it would take them sometimes hours to do those sheep. And it's just like we wrestle with God. God is trying to bring prevention in our life. He's trying to bring a sense of prevention in our life. And a lot of times we want to fight God when He tries to anoint our head with oil. It means a prevention and a protection. God wants you to have prevention in your life as well as protection in your life. But thirdly, here's the interesting thing. Why does it say, thou hast anointed my head with oil? What is David talking about when he talks about the anointing of the head with oil? Or the covering of my head with oil? The same translation, Psalms 133 says it like this. It says, precious oil upon the head that raineth down the beard of Aaron. It's the same word. And it said, the oil that ran down, it said, and there God commanded a blessing and life forevermore. It's a sign of covering. It's a sign of protection. Aaron would be anointed with the oil of God. It was a sign of covering and God's protection on his life. Psalms 140 said this. It's a better analogy. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. It means you have anointed my head in the day of battle. Numbers 19 gives us a warning. It says, every open vessel which is not covered and not fastened on it is unclean. What is David talking about when he talks about the covering and he talks about the anointing over the head, the covering over us? Well, the word means, in the Hebrew, it means a barrier between. When the Word of God anoints us, when we have proper covering and lordship in our life, there is a barrier between us and the enemy. It means to be hidden under. It means to be hidden under. I want to tell you something. You can be under the anointing of God and under the covering of God and the enemy not even know where you are. You could be so hidden in the anointing that the enemy not know where you are. It means to lay over. It means to lay over. Listen, I've met people that struggle with surviving some of the obstacles that come against their lives. But listen, the struggle is not because they don't have a right heart. The struggle is not because their heart is bad, but it's because their head is uncovered. It's because the anointing is not on them. David said, thou hast anointed my head in the day of battle. What is he talking about when he says that? I've watched good people fall apart. And their hearts have good intentions. But they've never learned how to come under the lordship of this word. They've never allowed to come under the anointing and come under the covering that God wants to bring in their life. They've had tender toward God. They, you know, They've had a tender heart toward God. And in the midst of battle, they've lost their mind. Why? Because they had not had covering in their life. I've looked at situations and thought, man, the problem is not people's heart. The problem is that they were, it was their head. They were not covered. The Bible says faith lives in the heart. And the heart can be moving toward God, but your mind won't let you go, but your mind won't let you get to where your heart is in believing. Your heart can be moving towards God. And if your mind does not let you go where your heart wants to go, you won't go there. That's why it's important to have lordship in your life. That's why it's important to have the covering of the anointing oil of God on our lives. It's why we should have spiritual covering. It's why we should have lordship of the Word of God. Why? So our minds will be right. And so when our heart leads us someplace, our mind will go with us. That we know where we are going, what we're looking to. But a lot of times, the heart's right, but we refuse change and to walk because of the way we think. He says, "You have anointed my head with oil." It has something to do with the head. Listen, there's times in my lives I've made mistakes. And I didn't make the mistakes because my heart wasn't in the right place. Y'all hearing me? I've made mistakes. I made choices that weren't the right choices, or I've done something that caused harm to my life. And it wasn't because my heart wasn't in the right place. It's because I never allowed an area of my life to come under the lordship of Christ. And what happened was my ignorance or my lack of understanding put me in position to be overcome by the enemy. There are many people that I meet. Your heart is good. Your intention is good. But you never allow God to transform your mind and allow the anointing of God to transform the way you think so you can walk in the blessing of God in your life. Your heart wants to go there, but your mind won't let you. You still want to live carnally. You still want to live in the world, but yet your heart wants God, but your mind wants to live back here. Y'all hearing me this morning? I counsel all kinds of people that come in and good intentions. They talk about what they want God to do. But if their mind doesn't change, they'll never get to the place where there's transformation in their life. He has anointed my head with oil. My thinking has changed as well as my heart has changed. He has anointed my head with oil. He's given me understanding. Only the Word of God can give you understanding. Only good counsel can give you understanding. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to you about purity and holiness and righteousness and living right. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's having your head anointed. Spiritual covering in your life. Having people in your life that you're amenable to and accountable to. And that you submit yourself to. Now I want you to see this. Woo! I read this, I got happy. Now we're going to kick it into another gear. Can we kick it into another gear for just a couple of minutes? Listen to David. Now David understood what it was like in the day of battle. He knew what it was, how important it was to have his head covered with oil. He knew what it was like to be in battle. Would you all say David understood battle? David understood battle. Now David's in the field. Now I want you to get this picture, okay? I'm going to play this out for you. It's like, act like you're at the movies, all right? You got popcorn. You got your spiritual popcorn with you, and you're watching this. Now David's in the field, and Samuel shows up. And Samuel is there to anoint a young man. But he doesn't know who he's going to anoint. And there's all kinds of other fellers there. I got to talk Indiana so y'all understand me. And there's some other fellers that are there. All right? And so Samuel shows up. He's come to anoint someone. And all of a sudden he goes through all of those guys. And all of a sudden, he sees David. David is brought out of the field. And David is all of a sudden, he sees David and he anoints David. And he puts oil on David's head. Now, the first thing that happens to David, now David understands that he's in his father's house. As long as he's in his father's house, he's under his father's covering. But he's been anointed by Samuel. And it's interesting because what happens is, Jesse turns to David and says, "Go back to the field." Now, David understood covering. And he understood spiritual authority in his life. You know how I know that? Because he didn't turn to Jesse and say, hey, did you not see the anointing service? Did you not see that I'm anointed king? Did you not see that what I'm going to do is greater than what you're going to do? Did you not see Samuel stop by the house and anoint me? And you want me, I'm going to be king of Israel, and you want me to go back out and feed some more sheep? They bite! I don't want to be out there in the woods alone again. The girls are in Israel. They're not in the field. But the Bible says, David, understanding, obeyed his father, went back into the field. He understood Samuel's spiritual authority. He understood his father's authority. Now here's what's interesting. All of a sudden the Philistines move in. And the Bible said they move into an area that's called Judea. The word Judea means praise. It means an area, and the Philistines move in. And nobody, they're getting ready to do battle, and nobody's doing battle. The Philistines set up there in Judah, which means worship. It's an analogy that the enemy, the first thing the enemy will steal in your life when he wants to take from you is he wants to steal your worship. He wants to steal your liberty and freedom in God. Because if he can get you not to worship, if he can get you to be distracted by the things of God, then he's got you. He will move into your Judah, into your praise, into your place where worship is. That's where he'll set up camp. Philistines set up camp there. And the Bible says that for 40 days, now get this, for 40 days there was a guy named Goliath that came out in the morning and the night for 40 days. He came out every day for 40 days. And he'd come out for a few minutes, and he'd come out and he'd taunt the children of Israel. Now the Bible tells us this. It tells us all these dimensions. And he tells all the sword and armor that Goliath had, and the shoes and all. I mean, the Bible tells us that detail. Now I thought to myself, looking at all that armor, two times a day he had to put that stuff on. And take that stuff off. That's more than most of you gals getting ready to go somewhere. That had to take him an hour to put it on and an hour to take it off. But in the morning, he'd put all that stuff on. He'd stand out. He'd walk out in the middle and he'd taunt the children of Israel. He'd go back in. He'd take it all off. He'd take a nap. Then he'd put it back on in the evening and he'd walk back out. And he taught the children of Israel again in the evening. He did that for 40 days. He did it for 40 days. In other words, listen, Goliath is a representation of the spirit of intimidation. He's a representation of the spirit of it. There was no fighting going on. All he had to do was show up in armor and the children of Israel backed down. There was no fighting going on. Goliath didn't attack nobody. He didn't grab nobody and cut their head off. He didn't stab nobody. He didn't throw a javelin. He didn't charge nobody. He just came out and stood and every day and intimidated the children of Israel. Now, psychologists say that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that's on your mind will dominate your mind most of the day. They also say the last thing you think about at night will dominate your sleep and determine how you rest. Think about that. What was Goliath doing? He wanted them thinking about him all day long. He'd get up in the morning and he'd intimidate them. And they'd think about him all day long. He, in the evening, he'd come, he would intimidate them. And they thought about him all night long. He's a representation of intimidation. He's a representative. He dominated them. He controlled their morning, he controlled their night. It was the last thing, first thing they saw in the morning. It was the last thing they saw at night. And the reason is that none of the children of Israel had no oil on their head. How do I know that? Because they operated out of sensory perception. What they saw is how they reacted. Now you better hear me this morning. I'm telling you, the devil has sold some of you a lie. And he wakes up in the morning and he intimidates you about your walk with God. And he gets there at night and he intimidates you at night. And because you have not covered your head with oil, with the Word of God, and have the anointing of God on your head, we get intimidated and we back down every day and give the enemy his place. He stepped into the place of Judah, which is a place of your praise in your life. Some of you have lost your worship because you've allowed the enemy to intimidate you. He is not the victor. God is the victor. And the enemy has come in, and he has showed up, and they have lived under sensory perception. But guess what? There comes a little boy out of the tribe of Judah. Woo! And he steps up, and he's a boy whose head has been anointed with oil. And he shows up, and he shows up, and when he shows up, he shows up, and all of a sudden, listen, the scripture even says that when Goliath begins to speak, David begins to get irritated. Listen, everybody else is living in the natural. Goliath has intimidated them. I want to tell you, that's exactly what's going on in this country when it comes to the religious things. We have people in government trying to tell us how we are to live for God. To tell us what righteousness is. To tell us what purity is. To tell us what we can stand for and what we cannot stand for. To tell us what the Bible represents and what the Bible doesn't. We've got a bunch of uncircumcised Philistines trying to tell the church how we're supposed to live. But here's what happens. Those of us whose heads are not covered with oil, we just receive it and we back down and we allow ourselves to be intimidated. But God's looking for some boys like David who were willing to allow their head to be anointed with oil in these last days to stand up to the intimidation of our hour to be used by God to change it. Woo! Who wants God to anoint their head with oil? Who wants God to allow the anointing of God to come on their life? Who's tired of being intimidated by the world, intimidated by the devil, intimidated by your sickness, intimidated by your circumstances, intimidated by your finances? Who'd like God to anoint your head and have a different perspective and say, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that thinks he can come in here and bully my life around? Woo! Hey! And we allow him to do it. And he walks right into your place of praise and your place of worship. And you allow him to stand the ground that you're supposed to possess. You allow him to intimidate you. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. All the ladies at work might not like me if I talk about Jesus. So I go in depressed and I leave depressed. I get in a car and turn my Christian music on. And I get my little bit of praise. But I don't want nobody to see me. I don't want nobody to know I'm a Christian. I'm just being nice. I'm just being sweet. I want to tell you, the days come when Christians need to pick up a sword. It's time to pick up the Word of God. It's time to not be intimidated and ashamed to live for God. And not be ashamed. Well, you know, I get around my friends. I want to keep them. I know they don't approve of my lifestyle. But I don't want them to feel bad about theirs. Let me tell you, who's going to change them if Jesus doesn't? You want them to go? Can I say, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it in church and y'all might fall out. They're going to go to hell if you don't. You hear when I said the word. I said the buzzword. Hell. Oh, we don't want to think of anybody spending eternity in hell. You know why we don't talk about it? Well, it's just not popular. People won't come back to church. You start talking about hell, talking about where they are, and talking about sin in their life. They just won't. No, that's not true. That's not true. Because the night I got saved, they were talking about hell. Huh? The night I got saved, I realized I was separated from God. The night I came to Jesus, I realized there was a... Listen, we can't be intimidated anymore to tell the truth and to stand up and put a sword in our hand and not let the circumcised, uncircumcised Philistine to push us back anymore. I'm telling you, this is how it is. I love it. Clady said it good Friday night. Come here, Jordan. Listen, come here, Montana, Jordan. Listen, come here. Come on up here. Woohoo! Y'all like this couple? Y'all hold hands. You're the church. You're the church. Well, just let me tell you what the devil's done. This is what he's done. He just pushed, and he's pushed, and he's pushed. Huh? And he's just taking territory, and he's pushed, and he's pushed. And before long, you're all the way in the corner, and nobody can see you, and the devil's got all your territory. Let me tell you something. God has given Christians the ability to rise up and to step in the boundaries and the place that God has given us. It's an hour to get a little bit bold, sweetheart. Why? Well, why ain't people standing up? I'll tell you why. Because their heads are not anointed with oil. They're anointed with everything else. Okay, that went over well. Moving on. David said, who is that? Who is that? His voice irritated David. I want to tell you, I want to get to the place when I walk into a place, if there's an ungodly residue, I don't want to build alliances with it. Huh? I want to tear that thing down. Huh? Well, that's kind of mean in the preacher. No, it's not mean. That's the most loving thing you can do is tell somebody they need Christ. Most loving thing you can do is begin to take back territory that belongs to Christians. Oh, well. See, I love it. When David saw Goliath, this is what he said. He said, the same God that allowed me to overcome the lion and the bear is the same God that will anoint me to overcome you. Now let me tell you how somebody whose head is not anointed with oil would talk. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. You know why? This is my personal opinion. You know why I think Saul let David go out to fight Goliath? You know why I think he let him? Because I think he thought that David was going to die. And he wanted to get rid of David. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you, everybody that's with you is not for you, sweetheart. Everybody counseling you is not for you. I'm telling you, there's people in it. Oh, my. Let me tell you, there's people in your life that's rooting against you. They like it that you're sick. They like it that you're a complainer. They like it that you're not free. They like it that you're broke, busted, and disgusted. Why? Because they are. And if you get free, that means they've got to get free. They like it that way. They want to see you in misery. They want to see you in poverty. They want to see you not healed. They want to see you. And then if you ever try to do anything for God, they're like, oh, well, what's he trying to do? What's he trying to do? Who does he think he is? Isn't that right? Isn't that what David's older brother said? What are you doing down here at the battle? You need to be back home minding sheep and fixing sandwiches. Huh? David said, get out of my way. My head's been anointed. And some of you need to take the Word of God and let it get so far in you, you become anointed. So that there ain't none of the negativity to keep you from doing what God wants to do. And the next backbiter, the next fool that steps in your way in the purpose of God, you just kick them out of the way and say, I've got something to do for God. Hey! God's looking for some folks to rise up. Whew. Covered my head with oil. He covered my head with oil. I read you that passage of scripture in Romans, our Numbers. It said this. It said, any open vessel that is left open and not sealed becomes an unclean vessel. Why? God required them to cover the vessels. Why? Because if it wasn't covered, it got contaminated. And the thing is, some of you are trying to serve God with a contaminated mind. Some of you are trying to serve God. Your container's been open and not sealed and not been anointed and covered. And because of that, you're trying to serve God in your own strength with your own thinking and your own way. and it ain't working for you. No wonder why it's not working. The day of battle. I want to tell you, God wants to anoint your head with oil. I want to close with this. Adam, if you'll come this morning. We were taking communion earlier. And I mentioned to you, that there were four cups that was taken at communion. It was a representation in the book of Exodus chapter 1, or Exodus chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, where God told them at the Passover supper they were to drink four cups. The first cup represented what He said in verse 6. In Exodus 6, He said, "I will bring you out." It's a representation. It's called the sanctification cup. It was at the beginning of the meal. It's a receptiveness to the promise of God. Listen, the message to the world is that God can bring them out. It was a message. It was a promise to the children of Israel. When they sat down with the Passover, they took that cup. The first thing they did before they eat, they would drink that cup. And it was the answer to the promise of where God said, "I'll bring you out." The second cup they drank was a cup that represented, it says in verse 6, it says, chapter 6 of Exodus, it says, "I will save you." It was a deliverance from slavery. It was a promise that God would deliver. Because when Moses showed up and began to announce the plagues on Egypt, what did Pharaoh do? He increased their work. He increased the work, and God said, "Not only will I bring you out, but I'll save you from slavery." Listen, what has Jesus done through the blood? He has saved us from the slavery of sin in our life. Stand with me this morning. Then there was the cup of redemption, which we took this morning. Now I'm going to show you something. If you don't shout, David said this: "You've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil." Look what he says, the last sentence of verse 5. What did it say? "My cup runneth over." Now, wait a minute. That's not the good part. The first cup represented the Passover. "I'll bring you out." The second cup, in the Passover meal, represented, "I will save you." But during the Passover meal, the father of the household, during the service of the Passover meal, on the third cup, which was the cup of redemption, which we see that Jesus took in Luke chapter 22, when the disciples, it was after the meal. They had the bread after the meal in those days. Jesus took the bread and broke the bread, remember? And it said, and he lifted up the cup. Now, we all watched Indiana Jones and we all think a cup is this chalice. But it's not. The cup of the Passover is a little small cup about this big and it sits in a saucer. And so they drink the first cup to represent it, "I'll bring you out." The second cup, "I'll pull you out of slavery." But the head of the house on the third cup would pour the wine into that cup. And he wouldn't stop at the rim. He would let that wine overflow on that third cup. I'm about to have a spell. What did it represent? It represented that the redemptive cup was not just a cup to satisfy. It was a cup that ran over, which means it was more than enough. What Jesus did on the cross was more than enough for you this morning. My cup runneth over. Woo! Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! Woo! But that's not the end. That's not the end. That's not the end. The fourth cup. Jesus said in Luke 22, He said, I shall not drink wine again until the kingdom comes. There's a fourth cup in the Passover. And it's found in John chapter 19. Jesus is on the cross. He says, I'm thirsty. And the scripture said they got sour wine and vinegar. And they put it to his lips. And he drank sour wine and vinegar. And he just prophesied the day before, I shall not drink wine again till the kingdom comes. After he drank that wine, he spread his arms out. This is what he said. He said, it's finished. In other words, the kingdom has now come. That which is on heaven can now be on earth. When Jesus died, he opened the portals of heaven. And what he said was, when he died, now that which is up there, woo! Now that which is up there can now come down here and invade here. Ah! That means that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God fell. And they began to speak with other tongues. And they began to lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover where it was not done before until Jesus did. What did He do? He opened all of heaven. And now you and I are sitting here this morning. And He's anointed our head with oil. He's made you a warrior. Now you can step into the places of where you're supposed to be purposed. But not only that, your cup hath runneth over. And you have access to everything that Jesus left. You are an inheritance. You have an inheritance in God this morning. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us this morning. Every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, Pastor, my head's not been anointed with oil. I'm not going to bid you down here and slap a bunch of oil on your head. It's talking about lordship. Maybe you have not allowed God to be Lord of your life. I'm not going to sit here and beg you. I want you to step out of where you are and I want you to come down this altar and say, from this all day on, my head's going to be anointed with oil. I'm going to walk how God wants me to walk. Maybe you don't know Christ or given your life to Jesus, and maybe you'd like to give your life to Christ. I want you to come down and let us pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you want your cup to run over and you want more of God. You need to step out of where you are and come down to this altar this morning and find the place. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. I want you to come down and I want you to find the place at this altar and say, God, let my cup runneth over. Adam, begin to play. Begin to sing. Just step out of where you are and come. Say, God, I want more. I want more. I want my cup to runneth over. Hallelujah. Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will never rust and trust Him. Heart needs presence, Jesus. I surrender all. Hallelujah! I surrender all to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here this morning that would like to receive Christ as your Savior? You'd like to ask Jesus to come into your heart, receive the free pardon of sin, and allow Him to wash you clean? Is there anyone? Hallelujah. 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 Father, I pray that these that are at the altar this morning, You anoint their heads with oil. I pray that every day their cup would runneth over. I pray, God, that You would anoint them for service. I pray, God, they will not be intimidated by the enemy. They'll continue to take control of their home, their families, their lives. They will not walk in intimidation, but they will walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They will not back down. They will not let the devil stomp on their Judah, stomp on their praise, stomp on who they are. Lord, that You anoint their eyes, their ears, bring prevention and protection to their life, just like You prevented those sheep. Lord, go before them and walk through the fields of their life. Looking for the adder, looking for the adder, looking for the poisonous vegetation, looking for the predators that would come and try to steal what You have done in their life. I pray, God, You be their shepherd this morning. Be their shepherd this morning. Lead them in paths of righteousness. Bring them up out of the valley of the shadow of death onto the plateaus of clear pastures. Be their protector. Anoint them with oil. Let them never be the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Jesus. We got to do one other thing this morning. These are at the altar. Let them continue to be there. I'm going to put my Bible down here. I've only done this one other time since I've been here, but I feel really led to do it this morning. There's a family that attends this church and they're struggling. Their husband had a job for many years and decided to better himself and take a different job. He did, and he started a new job and things were promising. But he had an accident last week and it's enabled him, and he's only been on this job for 2 months and he doesn't have insurance. He's the only worker in his family. They got 5 children. And he's just heartbroken. He said, "Pastor, I'm struggling." He didn't tell me. I happened to be at Walgreens and happened to run into him. And they hadn't been to church. I said, "Hey, I've missed you guys." He said, "Well, it's not that we've not been one to be there. I'm having surgery." He tore his whole ligaments off of his ankle playing with his kids. He tore all of the ligaments off of his ankle. He's got to have surgery on Tuesday to repair it all. He's going to be out 8 weeks. And I just got to talking to him. He just began to break down in his car. And he said, "You know, we're just trusting God. We're just trusting God." So if you find it on your heart this morning, you'd like to help this family, I'd like for you to bring an offering this morning and put that offering on my Bible. Guys, you can collect it once they've given and once they've brought it down. And if you don't want to bring it all the way down here, the ushers are back there. You can give it to the ushers. But if you'll just come down here and put a little something in, just something to bless them. I know it would be appreciative to them, and I know it would be a blessing to their family. I want to be able to see them on Tuesday for surgery and be able to bless them. Let them know that our church is praying for them, that we love them. And everything you give will go to them. This is what church family is all about, folks. Covering people. How many would say the enemy has walked through their field and pasture and has tried to destroy them? But because they got a church family and a shepherd, we're not going to let it happen. Because when the devil punches one of us in the eye, we're going to punch back. Hallelujah. Sing. Here. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is Pastor Nichols still here? Is Pastor Nichols still here? Is he still here? Brother Nichols. Come here, brother. I want you all to reach out to this man of God. He's a great pastor, loves God's people, served God's people for a long time. His wife had an aneurysm this week, and she's in the hospital. Dolly, we want to remember her in prayer. But we're going to lay hands on him. We're just going to pray strength, encouragement. I'd like some of our leaders to come and surround Brother Nichols. Let's just pray for him. Just pray God's added strength into his life. For his God is the Lord's. He's preached the gospel for many years. And I think that we should honor every pastor that walks in here. It's our responsibility. Father, I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon my brother. I pray that you'd strengthen him. And I pray that the youth would come in him. Just as the youth of an eagle would rise up, oh God, I pray would rise up in him. Restore him, God. And I pray the power of strength in this body. He was fashioned for your presence. He was fashioned for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, God, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, that God, you would revive him. Lord, many days ahead, your work with him is not done, God. For this is the beginning of a fresh day, a new day, God. We pray you touch Dolly right now. We pray the healing power of the Holy Spirit would go through her. We pray, God, you would raise her up again, oh God, and strengthen her. And we thank you for this man of God. We pray the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon him and bring healing to this body, strength to his joints, clarity to his mind. For he was fashioned for your presence. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Father, bless your people as we leave today. Pray that you'll seal the work that you've done in our hearts this morning. Pray that we'll be strengthened and lifted up by your word. Lord, anointeth my head with oil. May my cup runneth over. Prepare the table for me in the presence of my enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you hug someone as you leave this morning? God bless you. We'll see you Thursday night. Hallelujah, hallelujah.